I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah 61. And once you've found your place there, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to look at just the first three verses here. I'll read out loud these three verses, and we'll talk about another word. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." As I was reading once again, I came across not only this passage of Scripture, but another passage of Scripture. If you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 4, you certainly can do that. I hope you noticed that the first verse here, he begins and says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." So Isaiah is saying, hey, these are not my words. I did not write this message. This is not something that I wanted to say. This is something that the Spirit of God upon me is wanting me to voice to you. He says, "He hath sent me for this purpose, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And he goes on to say about the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance and comforting all that mourn. But I hope you noticed at the end of 3, he says that he might be glorified. So all this is to bring glory to God, right? And so we have to put things into perspective. As we take a look at these things, and why were the people in their hearts bound up? Why was liberty proclaimed to the captives? Why were the prisons opened? Why was the day of vengeance there and those that were mourning comforted? And why was where were they given beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness and that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, all of that he might be glorified. You see, that's the thing we've got to understand. Why, right? Why are these things so? Teaching right now in Bible college a class called Philosophy of Education. And it has to do with the why. Why do we teach? Why do we educate? Why? What is the point? What is the purpose? And may I say, it really is that he might be glorified. Why do we have life right now? Why do we have salvation and these things in Christ, that he might be glorified? So I want you to get that idea in your minds, because we're going to apply that to one particular word in here, because I think it's something that people get mixed up or they get wrong, because it's a very hot topic in our world today, especially in our types of churches or in church in general. This word is liberty. Liberty. Good word. Great word. I like liberty. And I don't like it when the left wants to take my liberties away. Oh, wait, did I say that? I'm sorry. No. Our founding fathers thought it important to include it in important documents of our country. Right? Liberty. As Americans, if you will, we should be familiar with this word. In its general purpose, in the dictionary, Liberty is mentioned as freedom from restraint in a general sense and applicable to the body or to the will or to the mind. Okay, so freedom from restraint, that's what liberty is. And if you think about it, it says here that Isaiah was proclaiming liberty to the captives. Right? Captives would be what? Restrained. Okay, that makes sense. So freedom from restraint. And of course it is applicable in a general sense to the body or to the will or to the mind. And then going on further, religious liberty is the free right of adopting and enjoying opinions or on religious subjects and of worshiping the supreme being according to the dictates of conscience without external control. Okay, that's liberty. All right. Now, I want to make sure, because everybody says, well, then I can do whatever I want. Because I'm free from restraint. You understand? Okay. This is where this gets difficult. Because it's not for our benefit or our glory, but it's for His. Okay? That's where the, if you will, if you want to use the word, restraint comes in. But wait, you just said I was free from restraint. Well, you are. So you're free to choose restraint. How about that? God doesn't make us do these things. I keep harping on this, and maybe this is why this particular word popped out at me, because this is where all those that are recovering such and suches go to. Is they made us do these things. Nobody's making you do nothing. And I said that on purpose because I want to offend every person that loves English in this world. Now, you know, you get to choose these things for His glory. That's the liberty we have in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, listen. As saved, born again believers, we can choose to go out and sin and live like the world, etc., 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 etc. But it will have consequences. Because all choices have consequences. Or repercussions, or whatever you want to call them. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. Now, we've got to understand, yes, we have the liberty. But our liberty is not to bring glory to us. It's supposed to bring glory to God. It says all of this stuff that He might be glorified. Our liberty is so that God can be glorified. Because we choose Him. I choose to be restrained by the Spirit of God so that I can bring glory to God. But see, it's my choice. And guess what? When I don't choose the restraint of the Holy Spirit of God, I don't bring glory to God. You see how this all works? And that's what people get all mixed up about. Is what is the purpose of your liberty? Is it for you? Or is it for God? What is the purpose of your life? Is it for you? Or is it for God? What is the purpose of your salvation? Is it for you? Or is it for God? I mean, all of these things. Do you understand? We are His creation. And we, if you will, in the form of Adam, chose to sin against Him. Therefore, death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All these things are truths. So God put in motion an opportunity to liberate us. And guess what? If you think about this very carefully, it's really the motive is not for our benefit, but rather the motive is for His glory, which does benefit us. Do you understand how that works? It's not directly linked to us and then it glorifies Him. It's to bring, because it brings glory to Him, it benefits us. It's there first and then trickles down this way. That's how you've got to think about it. Because all of this has to do with God. And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. When I talk about coming to church, church is not for you. It's for Him. Singing these songs in the hymn book, it's not for you. It's for Him. You growing in, as a believer in Christ and desiring the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby, it's not for you. It's for Him. Did you notice that all these things that Isaiah had to say, the healing of the binding of the brokenhearted and the liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison and the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance and the people mourning and to all these things, it was that He might be glorified. And that's what's important about our liberty. That's what's important about us having the freedom to choose to be restrained by God. That's my choice. You know how it is. You might know. You might not know. There is an old custom that a servant that was released or freed from service by his master could choose to stay a servant to the master, and that was signified by driving an awl, that's AWL, through his ear. And it would signify that they were free to choose serving the master. And that was their choice. And it actually gives us scriptural reference. That's how it should be with us. Because we're free in Jesus Christ, by His perfect salvation, we choose to be restrained by Him. That's our liberty. It's our liberty. So over in Luke 4, if you were there, it says in verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and his custom was he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day. For those of you that are studying Acts, that's where Paul got his custom from that. And stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And let me ask you one simple question. What did Jesus do by coming to this earth, living a perfect life, giving himself a sacrifice on the cross, being raised from the dead the third day, and ascending back into heaven to wait for the coming, second coming there in heaven? What did all of that accomplish? Glorifying God. Ding, give the man a prize. I mean, you see how easy this was to connect? But yet, church after church, people group after people group, have this thing of liberty so backwards. Because they think it's all for them. So that I can do what I want now. And I can go where I want. And I can choose what I want. Oh, okay. But it's not for you. It's so that you can choose what God wants you to choose. And so you can do what God wants you to do. So you can choose to be restrained by driving that all through your ear so you can say, "I choose to serve Him." Because it brings glory to God and not glory to me. That's what real liberty is. You say, "Pastor, that just doesn't sound like liberty." But because we have a screwed up definition of liberty. Because it's a humanistic definition of liberty. It's all about us. And from the time we were kids, that's our favorite subject. Me, 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 mine, mine, mine. I want, I do, I. We have an I problem, right? It's how we're built. So a new life in Christ begins, a new philosophy, a new thought about this word liberty needs to be taught to us. Needs to be taught to us from the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says in verse 17 through 18, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So Paul said, he says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus Christ is our liberty, folks. We've been bought with a price. It's paid for. And yes, we are free. But we ought to be free to choose to be servants. And that's what we should choose. Galatians chapter 2 says, then in verse 1, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, Paul says, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul's talking about that encounter, about the Judaizers and the works added to salvation. They're trying to bring them into bondage again. He said, did you notice what he said about the liberty that they had in Jesus Christ? Folks, our liberty is in Christ. And that is where our liberty resides. So we must, if Jesus Christ was here to glorify God, then we in our liberty through him ought to want to glorify God. That just kind of makes sense to me. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So, I'm putting together a thought process here. That in Christ, living a life conformed to the to his image, is where liberty is. And if I choose by my liberty to go outside of that, then I no longer have liberty. Do you understand how this works? Our liberty is in Christ. And guess what? In Christ, there's no darkness. That sin doesn't work in there, does it? Because guess what? We can go to 1 John, we can go to lots of different places in the scripture, and we can find out that if we are at odds with him, there is no fellowship. There's a barrier. And that barrier is the bondage of sin. So those that say, well, we're in the age of grace, and we can just do whatever we want, and I can worship God however I want, and I can make the choices however. You know what? Yes, you can. But that just means you're in bondage again. And you don't have that liberty. You see, we've got to understand how all of this works together. Even Paul said, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't do it. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. So not only is our liberty founded in Jesus Christ, but it continues by following God's word. That's where liberty continues. In Psalm 119, in verses 41 through 48, it says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." We continue in liberty when we continue to walk in God's word. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know what that provides us with? Liberty. Liberty. Freedom. In this class that I'm teaching about the philosophy of education, I made the statement, boundaries are not bad. Boundaries are liberty, folks. You say, but they're restraints. Yeah. God's trying to keep us free. He's trying to keep us liberated from all that junk out there so we don't go in bondage again. That's what liberty is. God loves us, so he extends to us liberty. And that liberty is in his Son, and it carries on through his word. Remember what it says in James? In James chapter 2, it says, "So speak ye and so do, that they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, and he that showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, Depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. He says, did you notice what he said at the beginning there? So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Interesting. In 1 Peter, in chapter 2, it says, Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You say your liberty can be used the wrong way? It sure can. It sure can. Do we have liberty in Christ? Yes. But what are the guidelines? You say liberty doesn't have any guidelines. That's where I disagree. Even in our own laws, you can say, well, I have the liberty. I can go out and kill somebody. Well, okay. You actually do have the right to choose that. But there are consequences. Thank God. That's what people want today. They think they misread this, or they misunderstand this, and they think that liberty is a license to do whatever they want. They need to go back and read Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. Because it's not. It's not for to go back to the flesh. Just a little portion out of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Folks, we're dead. Oh yes, this newness of life gives us freedom and liberty. But it's not for the purpose that many think it is for. The purpose is to glorify God. To bring Him glory in our lives. And does us choosing sin bring glory to God? No. Not even in anybody's wildest dreams. No way. No how. Not at all. We need to make sure that we're careful with our liberty to choose what God would have us to choose with it. And not only that, remember what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. There's even some things that are not bad that we should still restrain ourselves from because of others. It may cause somebody else to stumble. It may cause somebody else to falter. You say, but that's, now you're talking about way too much restraint. I'm supposed to have liberty. See, that's the complaint that we get. Oh, you're keeping people from expressing themselves. You're keeping people. I'm not keeping anybody from anything. God says that this liberty that He has bestowed upon us and provided for us is to bring Him glory. Do you think God rejoices if a brother or sister in Christ falls because of something you choose to do? Not at all. But do you think restraining yourself so that they don't stumble brings God glory and honor? Yes, it does. The devil wants us to get the wrong idea about liberty. God wants us to have the right idea about liberty. Now, I would encourage you, there are many more scriptures that talk about liberty. But I think I was adequately able to show you that liberty is a real thing. And it really is freedom from restraint. But the idea of liberty is not for our glory, but for God's. So therefore, we choose freely to be restrained through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, all unto the glory of God. And that's our choice as liberated people.